Before I read a scripture, the ending song today is Joy to the World, and I wanted to read a little bit about that hymn and then the scripture that goes with it. But Isaac Watts was a Calvinist pastor, but when is a Christmas carol not really a Christmas carol when it doesn't focus on the birth of Christ, perhaps? And we take Joy to the World. Isaac Watts based this text on the last half of Psalm 98, which celebrates the coming of the Lord to judge the world in righteousness. The psalmist calls on all creation to sing and shout for joy at the Lord's coming. There is nothing in the psalm or in Watts' paraphrase that specifically mentions the birth of Christ, just the Lord's return and judgment. So should we stop singing this at Christmas? Not at all. The hymn celebrates God's involvement with his people, and his work of God began at the stable of Bethlehem. At Christmas, we need bifocal vision. We need to look back and praise God for the glorious gift of his son, Jesus. But we also look forward to Christ's return. So when God will bring a righteous conclusion to all things, and then we'll begin to fully enjoy the wonders of his love for all eternity. Joy to the earth, the Lord has come. And so we celebrate today the coming of Jesus at his birth, and we celebrate his coming when he returns to earth to judge. Now this morning, we have some special songs and music, and we're doing things a little bit different. They're not going to have announcements and greeting time until the end of the service today. But I want to begin and ask us to stand for the reading of God's word of Psalms 98. Are you joyful today because of the birth of Jesus Christ? Psalms 98 says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. For his right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with a lyre, and with a lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth, and he will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity." The word of the Lord. You may be seated as the worship team comes this morning as we sing our opening song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, as we celebrate and worship this morning.
Pleased as men with men to dwell, praise the star, Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Hail the heavenly Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all He brings. Is with healing in His wings. While He lays His glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Come, desire of nations, come, fix with us thy humble home. Christ the woman's conquering seed, bruises us the serpent's head. Adam's likeness now effaced, stamp thy image in its place. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
If you were here for our Christmas play last week, the song Joseph's Lullaby is something you might think about what Joseph may have said the first time he heard he had Jesus in his arms. So hope you enjoy. This manger for your bed, you have a long road before you. Rest your little head. Can you feel the weight of your stand the price, or does the Father guard your heart for now so you can sleep tonight? Go to sleep, my son. Go and chase your dreams. This world can wait for one more moment. Go and sleep in peace. I believe the glory of heaven lying in my arms tonight. But Lord, I ask that He, for just this moment, simply be my child. Go to sleep, my son. Baby, close your eyes. Soon enough you'll save the day. But for now, dear child of mine, sleep tight.
Christmas angels sing all around us, spread good tidings over the earth, telling of the child in a manger who is born. He is the King of Kings.
Prince of Peace, behold, and a
door, the Son of God has come to set us free. He's the Savior, King, the Lord of all. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. We sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Joy to the world. He is here forever and always. Christmas angels sing all around us. All creation hears what they say. Bow before Him. Come and behold the Son of God, born on Christmas Day. Joy to the world, the Lord is
now. Is it on? Okay. We'll wait till we get our pictures up because that's more fun. There we go. That was the last year Santa would forget to bring his sunglasses because instead of going down the chimney, he went down somewhere else. But we want to talk about Jesus who came down. You know, in John 1:14, you want to read, does someone want to read that verse up there? Go ahead, read it really loud.
And the world became flesh and
dwelt
among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. Full of grace and truth.
So Jesus, you know, before he was born, he always existed. That means he's fully God, but he took on human flesh, supernaturally born of the Virgin Mary, right? You remember that part of the story? And if we knew God, the Almighty King of Kings, was going to show up on earth, how would we expect a king to come? Now let us look at the circumstances that Jesus was born. So let's talk about, what do you think the circumstances were like in a manger where Jesus was born? Huh?
What is a manger?
Well, we're going to find out. Do you know that picture right there is what a manger was? And do you know what it was? Do you know?
No, but if I know what it would have felt like in a manger full of hay. Itchy. It would have felt itchy.
Yeah. It would have felt itchy and all the hay. Yeah, those kind of makes me itch, does it you? So someone, let's read this verse. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place or an inn. Do you know what a manger is? It was a rock trough where they would put animal feed in. You know, and so the animals would be there, and it was smelly because animals do what, you know what, all over the place. And it was not a glorious place. So how would Jesus, being God, would come to such a lowly place like this with these crazy animals? Oh, that one's even worse. This is what a manger looks like for real. So when Mary and Joseph came in to the city of Bethlehem, there was no room in the inn. And you know, in the inns, they didn't have cars to drive back then. But what did they have? They had donkeys and camels. And so in the inn, there was often like a little barn or a stall. It was usually a cave. It was usually a dark, damp cave, and the innkeeper would provide food for the animals and a place to stay. So it's kind of like, if we were to put it in modern terms, like a cold, dark parking garage. That's what it was. That's all the room there was left for Jesus, and so he was born in a place like that. So why would Jesus, being fully God, come in such a humble way? Why didn't Jesus ride in on a huge throne? Or what's your favorite car you think Jesus should ride in? Huh?
Designing car.
Well, it doesn't matter where you're born. You could still be special whether you're not born.
That's right. That's right. So Jesus was born in humble places, not like the kid on the right hand side. He didn't come in with a big parade. He was born in what we know as a parking garage or a barn with animals. And why would he do that? You know why? Because he was willing to save sinners from God's wrath. God the Father, because he was obeying God the Father to bring eternal salvation. He says, Jesus, I want you to go down there, and I want you to humble yourself and die for these humans so that they can have salvation. So he had to be fully God to forgive our sins, because only God can forgive sins, right? I can't forgive all your sins. I can forgive you for what you did wrong to me, but I can't make you clean before God. But only God can. And he had to be fully human to be a perfect substitute to take our punishment for our sins. And so when we come to Philippians, it tells us why it's so important that Jesus was born in a humble birth. And that's our motivation as we ponder. I want to read this verse in Philippians. He says, so if there's any encouragement, any comfort from his love, or participation in the Spirit, or affection and sympathy. So when we think of Christmas, how many want to be encouraged? Do you like encouragement? Do you like somebody to tell you that you did a good job? Or that you feel comfort from God's love? You know what? How does that bring comfort to us? And that's the question I want to ask you. And then you're going to get to choose an adult to ask that question too. So in what ways are you comforted by the humble birth of Jesus? Do you have any ways? How does Jesus' birth bring us comfort? Yeah.
It's made because of the hay.
Because of the hay. And you know what? Because Jesus is born in that humble hay, that means that anybody, doesn't matter where we came from, rich or poor, can be saved. Now you get to choose. I want to volunteer to choose one of the adults to ask this question. Who are you going to choose? So, and by the way, we need microphones for the adults so we can hear them. You're going to ask Tom. Okay. Tom, what ways are you comforted by the humble birth of Jesus? I told you it was going to be fun. We're going to put our parents on the spot today.
Come on. You have to.
The question in big red highlighted letters. Do you think we should come back to him?
No.
Let's take a vote. Should we come back to him?
No.
We'll come back to him. We'll show him grace because Jesus showed us grace. So let's read this next verse, because this next verse changes us. Because Jesus was humble, it changes how we live. Okay, it makes a difference. It makes us humble. He says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love. That means to get along with your brothers and sisters and moms and dads. Being in full accord of one mind, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So, what does it look like to consider other people or your brother or sister as better than yourself? You wanna? What does it look like?
It looks like something like animals.
Like animals. We don't call our brothers and sisters animals, but
well, my mom calls us animals.
See, we're going to get a lot of confessions here. So let's tell our parents they got to treat their kids as better than themselves. Can't call them animals, right?
Yeah.
What were you going to say? What does it look like to consider others as better than yourself? Is there anyone that could help the kids out today? What does it look like to consider somebody as better than yourself? How about letting someone go first in line when you've been waiting in line? Yeah, being respectful to other people. That means we value them more than we value what we're doing or our lives. And Jesus, because he was fully God, came and was born in such a humble place. He set that example for us and he saved us so that we love others better than ourselves. And that's the power of that. All right. So when we think of Jesus at his birth, he's fully God and fully man. And this is an interesting part. Look at this verse in verse 5. He says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not account equality with God as a thing to be grasped. So Jesus didn't come on the earth and say, here I am, I'm the king. Or when they went to put him on the cross, Jesus said, I'm going to call down lightning from heaven and wipe them out. He didn't do that. He didn't grasp equality with God. He says, I'm going to humble myself and die as a human. And he says in verse 7 that he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. What do servants do? They serve. They help people. They listen to people. What were you going to say?
There's a ring under the seat.
There's a ring under the seat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like, we're going out.
Do you want me to grab it?
We'll just leave it there for now.
Yeah.
There's a bird over there, too. So let's come back to our question now. Why was Jesus willing to give up everything, or his equality with God, or reaching out, demanding himself to be God in order to die for our sins? You can answer that.
I didn't actually get what you were trying to say.
Okay.
To give.
That's because I didn't put the question up there right. So don't ignore what's on the screen. What did Jesus give up when he came to earth?
His life.
He gave up his life. And where did he leave from?
Earth.
Heaven. He left from heaven where it was glorious and perfect on the throne. Would you want to leave the throne in heaven to come to an old barn with smelly, goofy animals?
Yeah, I'd rather do that.
You'd rather do that? Okay, you would if your father told you. And guess what? Jesus' father did tell him to.
So then I would do it.
So why don't we ask another adult? Do you want to choose somebody?
Me.
You can choose somebody.
Me.
And choose Miss Tanya.
Josh.
I was going to choose you to whoever can take.
So, Josh, what did Jesus have to give up in order to come down and be born in a stable?
You want this one?
They're going to trade. Okay.
That's fair, right? We can trade.
Okay, listen carefully. Listen to what he says.
He stepped down from glory. He condescended to be one of us in order to bring us salvation. He gave up his glory. Is that better?
He gave up his glory. Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's give him a hand because he finally answered a question. So there's a good end to this story because Jesus gave up everything. This is what God did for Jesus. He said, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name. You know what that name is? Jesus Christ, Jesus our Savior, who's God. And he says, so that the name of Jesus, every knee would bow on heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. So if Jesus is Lord, I want you to go away thinking about how does that change our lives? And when we say he's God or Lord, we say that he's our ruler. That what he says and tells us to do, we do. He rules our life. And so let's get on our knees because it says one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess. And we're going to pray to Jesus. And if you can, we're going to ask our adults to get on our knees. If you can, physically.
Yeah, physically.
We're going to humble ourselves this morning. And if you can't, that's okay. That's okay.
Physics.
We'll kneel for the rest of you. So when we knelt down, we left our position from our chairs, right? Just like Jesus did, he knelt down and took our sins for us. So let's bow our heads and let's be quiet. Let's talk to Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for the joy that you've given us by coming to the earth, not in a big parade or with all glory, but just in hay with animals in a very humble way. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for loving us this much to leave the glories of heaven, to die in our place for our sins, to take the punishment that should have been ours. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. In Jesus' name, and everybody says, amen. 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 You can take your seats. Now I want to ask our worship team to come.
Is this the powder?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Let's give them a hand. Celebrate communion today. I'm going to ask if there's some volunteer deacons or elders that can come down, or if you're on the volunteer list. For serving communion. This is a special day to celebrate communion. We call it Christmas. It means we come to worship Jesus Christ, have a church service to worship him, because God was made flesh. And so when we partake, this is so important that if you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you do that, because partaking of communion is for those of us that have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And if you haven't done that, I urge you to do that, because Jesus died in your place for your sins. He loved you that much, and He's inviting you to come to Him, all you who are thirsty, and receive His free gift of love. And as we partake of communion as believers, as born-again Christians, we celebrate God made flesh, who left the glory of heaven to dwell among us. And so, Father, we just thank You for what You've given us in Your body, in coming down and taking on human flesh to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. We thank You for bearing our wrath, for dying on the cross for our sins. And we thank You for giving us this reminder, Your body and Your blood, which is spilled out for many. And we ask, Lord, that You would touch our hearts and bless this communion today as we partake in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together. In Jesus' name. Jesus, we thank You for Your body. Thank You for being born in a humble manger on a cold, hard, damp stable. to identify with us in the depths of our sin. Thank you for bearing our shame. Thank you for bearing our punishment for our sins. Thank you for taking our place. Jesus took the bread and he said, "This is my body, which is broken." Let us partake in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, we can only imagine and guess when Mary took all these things and treasured and pondered them in her heart, that she wondered just what the Messiah came to do. This baby born came to give his life. You required a sacrifice. You said, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. And Jesus, we thank you for shedding your blood on the cross to wash us clean. And that is why we sing these songs, Joy to the World. That's why we come and worship you and adore you. Because you first loved us. Jesus took the cup and he said, "This is the blood of my new covenant, which is poured out for many. Let us partake in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." We stand as we continue our worship and sing these songs of worship to our Savior today in thanksgiving for his work on the cross.
King of ages, oh come. Let's just sing that last verse again, and let's declare that first line. Let's know that Jesus was born, but he was born so he could become a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords in flesh. So let's just declare, just as we learn from Philippians, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Let's sing that last line and know that he rules the world with truth and grace. And as we bow this morning, King Jesus, we bow to you today.
He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations true. The glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love.
And Merry Christmas. I want to pray for you and give you all, send you off with a blessing. But before you go, at the end, Denise has a special announcement for the church. Father, we thank you so much for this family, the beauty that we can gather together and celebrate your coming. And Lord, we look forward to the day when you will return and take us home forever. And Lord, I pray your blessing over every family that's here. I pray, Lord, that you'd draw us closer to one another and closer to you. And God, I pray that you'd be with us. I pray that we would shed and show and shine your light with all of our families and neighbors and friends that we come in contact with. The good news that, Jesus, you are fully God and fully man, and that you came to save sinners like us. Oh, Jesus, I pray that you would encourage every person and bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, I have a microphone already. Thank you, Dave. There have been several people that have come to me, and I feel the same way, that we miss each other over the holidays. And I know that we don't have service this coming Wednesday, but we would like to put together like a little game night. Everybody's invited, starting at 6:30 like we always do. There will not be a meal, however. We would like for you to bring a refreshment of your choice and a game. And if you have children, please bring a game that they would like to play. And it's just a time that we can be back together again, because so many of us miss each other when we're not here at church on Wednesday nights. So this Wednesday night, 6:30, bring a refreshment, bring a game, bring a smile, bring a friend, and we will have a great time together. Did I forget anything, Steph? And I do want to say, oh, yeah, Steve says, and the nursery will not be open, okay? I know in the bulletin you can read the birthdays and everything, but one that got left out was an anniversary that's taking place. The Van Adders, Drew and Dave, how many years is it going to be for you? Happy 107th.